Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Okay, I've got about 23 minutes here. Brother Dana, please do not leave before I get to you tonight, okay? So good to have you, Dana. Notice in verse 22, Hebrews 12, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And by the way, he loves Jerusalem over there in Israel too. And anyone that messes with Israel is messing with God. Tell them to keep their hands off Israel, because it's God's given it to those people. And it's a possession forever. And so when people go against Israel, by the way, if America ever turns their back on Israel, I don't care who the president is and who's in charge, I'm going to tell you right now, you better pray that our government always stands behind the people of Israel. One of the greatest blessings that were promised in the start of your Bible, the book of Genesis, which means beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. In Genesis 12, God promised Abraham that he would bless them that blessed him and curse them that cursed him. You ever wonder why Russia and Germany's had a hard way to go? Because they went against the Jewish people. Watch all the countries that go against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. They've got a curse on them. I'll bless them that bless you. And a reason America's blessed, because America has blessed Israel. And we need to always voice our opinion. We love Israel. And so does God. By the way, they still have to be washed in the blood. They got to be saved just like you and I. You know, they don't go to heaven because they're a Jew. They must be born again, like we have our one little Jewish boy here that's been saved. They got to be born again, just like David Siegel. Amen? Alrighty. Notice what it says. The heavenly Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. We're doing a 5-week study. This is the third week on the angels. And we're just going to give you a few thoughts about angels tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the nation of Israel. Lord, you've blessed us. You've given us the Bible because of Israel. You've given us a Savior because of Israel. Lord, we've been so blessed because of Israel, the people that you've raised up to carry out the word in your name. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I just pray that you'll bring peace to Jerusalem, Lord. Please, please bring peace to Jerusalem. Help President Obama and all those that are leaders of our country to have a special love and respect for Israel. I pray, dear God, our country will never turn their back on them. And Lord, I pray that the people in America would cry out and say, we want to protect Israel. Lord, I know as the days get closer to your coming, there'll be more hatred and more violence towards them. Lord, I pray that they'll never be named among, at least among this country, especially to, will never be named among Christians. That we turned our back on Israel. God, may we always stand in defense of that special people, that special country. And Lord, thank you for angels. Lord, your Bible tells me, and I'm going to read it in a few minutes, we have guardian angels. They're ministering to us. You've given us angels to watch over our lives. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you've given to us so rich and so wonderfully. Bless us tonight. Help me now to be a blessing. Lord, take these little Bible messages and help the people to have a whet their appetite to go home and study more. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, Mrs. Noel, every Sunday now, they've been sending out bulletins to those who are homesick. But also Mrs. Noel's now putting these Bible lessons in there. And so the people that are shut-ins, like the Youngs and stuff like that, they're receiving. Isn't that great? So all the people that couldn't come are getting these lessons. And that's good. And I don't know if it's possible. Maybe we'll see. I don't know if that would take a lot of room up on the computer, but maybe when we get them all 5. I don't know if we could ever do that, Bobby. It's not that important, but it's just a little thought. Alrighty, let's look at some things we know about angels. I didn't write down everything that we've already studied. I just wrote a few things down just to refresh your mind. Dr. Brooke used to tell me, repetition. You that are teaching in school, you that are teaching in Sunday school, you that work in super church, you that work in any kind of teaching areas, repetition is the greatest teacher. So why does that preacher always repeat? Dr. Brooke taught me a lot, and I just said that earlier too, didn't I? So you remember his name. Repeat. And believe it or not, I'd go to those classes, and like our classes were 4 hours long. We would have 5 days a week, but they 4 days a week, but you had a different class for each day. Just like we'd go to Romans for 4 hours, we'd go to Hebrews for 4 hours. Like on Monday we'd go to Hebrews, Tuesday we'd go to Romans, but he would teach for 4 hours. And he had a couple little breaks in between there, and we always had chapel. So he probably had about 3 hours of teaching total. And but I remember, Eddie, man, I'd really, because I had a hunger to learn and to understand, and I even taped stuff, and I taped almost every single lesson. I did. I was the guy that just, I didn't get things every day, so I had to keep listen, and I'd listen to them, and I'd go back the next week and review, and I'd say, wow, I didn't catch that. I never saw that before. He couldn't have said that. I played the tape. Well, he did tell me that. So when you're teaching, you that are teachers, don't be afraid to tell those kids twice what you told them, because two's a number of witness. Okay, look at your paper. So we know, we've learned last week that Jesus created angels. Colossians 1:16 says that he's the creator of all things. Christ is the creator of not just heaven and earth, but he created angels. Number two, we know that angels were created before man ever existed. I took you in Job chapter 38, 1 through 7, and how the sons of God met with God long before man was ever here. Angels, they've got a lot of seniority on us, Ed. They've been here a lot longer than us, okay? And then number three, we know that there are thousands times thousands to thousands of angels. I just read to you in Hebrews. They're innumerable. Even when Jesus was on the cross, I could call 12 legions of angels. 70. He could call thousands of angels, but he didn't. I'm glad he hung on the cross and he didn't come down. Amen. But there's not a shortage of angels. So there's multi angels. Number four, we know that some angels. These are all things that in the last 2 or 3 weeks we went over. These top, that's why I'm not reading them, because you've got them and I've got them there for you again. We know that angels followed Satan in his revolt against God. I showed you in Ezekiel 28 how Satan was the most beautiful creation of God. Isaiah 14, how the five I wills, how he would ascend up, try to go above God. Revelation 12:9 says that God cast him out, Satan and his angels. Number five, we know that some angels left their first estate and came down to earth and took women and had children by them, and they became mighty men. They become giants. And you can read about that in Genesis. In Genesis chapter, wait a minute. Yeah, that's supposed to be chapter 6. Wait a minute. Angels, yeah, they came down. I don't know what 28's doing. That's not right. That should be, change that. She gave me that to read, and yeah, definitely. And it's actually the first chapter 6, verses 1-4, something like that. I didn't catch it. It's a miracle Rosie can read my writing anyways. I have such poor writing. And I quickly overlooked it before she ran it off. Yes? Oh, that might be all right then. But that's not what I'm looking for. Scratch that out. I was thinking of something else when I wrote that, Mark. Chapter 6, yeah, verse 2 through 4. It should be chapter 6, Genesis 6, yeah, or 2 through 4 either. But that's wrong. The 28's wrong. I know my study on that. I just didn't, when I went over it, I didn't catch it. I didn't catch she put the wrong thing in there. My fault. My bad, kids. My bad. There's another bad I missed too here. We were hurrying, looking, going over it, and I was taking off, going somewhere, and I should have took a little more time. But cross that Genesis 28 out, because someday you'll say, what's going on? So put Genesis 6 there, 2 through 4. How many got that? And let me read it to you. Maybe the Lord want me. Genesis 6, 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, and for that he is also flesh, yet this day shall be 120. And there were giants in the earth. And in those days, and also that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, my bad. Well, I'm really making bads. Okay. I didn't catch that either. Thank you. I didn't catch it. Okay, you're going to be marking this paper up. You got to take time. I was going too fast with it. Thank you, Pastor Dave. So how many have got that Genesis 6? And those angels, it talks about them over there in 2 Peter 2, 4, and also Jude 6, said that God's got them in the pit, chambers waiting to be judged forever at the lake of fire. But they went down and habitated with women, and they had mighty men. That's where those giants and stuff come from. Okay, and we know that, number 6, we know that angels are sent to watch over us. Look, Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not ministering spirits sent to us? How many see that in Hebrews 1:14? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? How many see that? And so, they're what we call, how many ever heard the word guardian angels? We do actually have. You can't see them, Eddie, and I can't see them, but they're there. They're there. When you get into the spirit world, you can see them. They're just on another frequency, okay, if I can use that. All right, number 7, and we know that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. God didn't make hell for, God does not want one person to go to hell. Look up here. God does not want one soul to go to hell. Christ died so every person could go to heaven. They won't all go to heaven because they don't trust Christ, but he made a way for all people to go to heaven. There's different kinds of people. There's some people that we call that, like children. They're safe. They're not saved, but they're safe because they haven't come to the knowledge of Christ. Because they haven't come to the knowledge of Christ, if they die, or even an older person, if they've never come to the knowledge of, say there might be disabled somehow, and they can't realize in their heart that they need Christ, those people, those kids are safe. I don't care if they're 58 years old or if they a person has to come to the knowledge that they're a lost sinner. If they don't come to that, then they're safe. When they die, they go straight to heaven. That's the mercy of God. Then those that come to the knowledge of accountability, and by the way, some people say it's 12. I don't think it's any age. I think it's when you come to know you're a lost sinner. Now, we just saw my little grandson get baptized. Last year during vacation Bible school, he realized he was a lost sinner, and he came and said, Grandpa, I want to be saved. So Lukey's age of accountability would have been 5 years old. Hello? Don't put no age on accountability. A person has to, number one, understand that they're a sinner before God and that Christ loves them, he died for them, and that they need him. They can't get to heaven without him. They got to come to that knowledge. If they can't grasp that truth, if they can't grasp the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Paul said we're saved by believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he rose according to scripture. If they can't get that truth about what Christ did for them and how they desperately need him, then they're safe. Come here with me. And so those people go straight to heaven. I believe that with all my heart, because I believe God's a just God. Well, preacher, they didn't get saved. No, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand to get saved. How many are with me? They're safe. They're safe. Then when people get older and they realize they are sinners, I don't care how old they are, then they're accountable. Then they must be saved, born again, washed in the blood. Amen. And so those, if you see in 1:14 of Hebrews, it says he sends those angels who shall be heirs of salvation. So those of us are saved. And those, actually, I think they can't prove it, but they might have even been there before you got saved, because God knows when you're going to get saved or not. Hello? Whosoever will may come, but God knows who's coming. Are you with me? I'm not preaching election right now. I'm not. I'm talking about God's foreknowledge. God knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Eddie, he knew when you and Lizzie were going to get saved. He didn't make you get saved, but he knew you would be saved because he's God. The guy next to you, Eddie, had the same opportunity as you, but he didn't. Maybe somebody else in Wyndham didn't get saved. God's just because everybody has an opportunity. Are you with me? And so, hell, I'm preaching on hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God, over in Timothy, it says that God's not willing that any should perish. Let's see, 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. I don't have that on there. Put that on there, 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God does not want one person to go to hell. He made hell for the devil and his angels. And then all those that forget God, those that don't trust him, they go where the devil goes. Well, I'm glad I'm not going there. Amen? There was another scripture that came to me just a minute ago. And if I can pull it up, I'll quote it to you. Okay. So Timothy, I was going to tell you Timothy. I think it's 2:4, 2:3. It says, for this is good. For this, it's verse 3. Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable. It might be chapter 4, rather. It's in 1 Timothy. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. God wants all. I'm going to tell you right now, I witnessed to 2 or 3 people in the hospital. We were walking out after we were with Robin's sister, Coolidge and I, and we were walking out, and there was a lady sitting down on a bench, and I said, "Hello, ma'am, how you doing?" Just conversation. I pulled out a gospel tract, and I said, "Here, I want to give this to you. I'm the preacher. I want to invite you." And I said, "By the way, I want you to read it to show you how to get to heaven." And she thanked me for it. It's better than getting punched. Now, I don't have it on tonight, but I had a different jacket on this, had a different suit on, Mike. I had my badge, and we were walking down in the, it was exciting. In the right there where the elevators are, down that first floor where you get, where everyone all around there, and they occupy. And a lady said, "The church on the rise!" I said, "Yes, ma'am. And a returning Savior soon." And she went, "Amen." And so then I came back and said nothing. And she said something. And the next thing you know, we were having a hallelujah shouting. Man, people are moving around. And I'm saying, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. And man, they were all around her. Boy, they were jumping on the elevator. I said, "Go ahead. I'll wait for the next elevator. I'm having too much fun." I love telling people about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of them either. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. You know what? The world saw some more sunshine from Christians, we might be able to reach a few more. Pastor Dave was preaching on having a plan Sunday morning about having a personality and stuff like that, and said you got to put a smile on your face. And all time he was doing, I kept singing that song we in Super Church. Put a smile on your face. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Just give me a couple words. Take that frown off your face. Put a smile in its place. Let your personality unfold. Open up. Start to sing. You're a child of the King. Now go out and tell the world. Boom, 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 boom. You know what? And like Mike Sells is so dynamic. He don't, Mike Sells, you can put him in. I don't care where you. He don't know a stranger. It's great to be like that. Mike Sells goes up to hundreds of people because he don't know a straight. And so, and his personality, and man, okay. And that's why he's effective. It's fun, isn't it, Mike? Me and Mike wear those badges everywhere we go, man. And do you ever run out? I'll keep you in badges. I don't want to lose those. Don't give those badges away because me and Mike use them all the time. And anything that I can draw attention for Christ. You'd be amazed. I have a tie. I have three ties. I have one tie. It's the John 3:16. I bought three of them. It's my favorite tie. You've given me one, and I bought two of them. And I wear it all the time. I preach it all the time. It's like a light brown tie with God 3. Did you know? And I didn't have it on today, Mike. But there's never a time that I go in a hospital or somewhere where someone says, "Boy, I like that tie." I said, "Yeah, isn't that a great scripture, how God loves us, for God so loved the world?" And you're actually talking to them about your tithe. You're preaching to them, and they're not mad at you. If they weren't so expensive, I'd buy 100 of those and give them out on Father's Day for all the guys. But most guys don't wear ties anyway, so it don't matter, you know. But anyways, use anything you can for Christ. Amen? But we're talking about hell. God doesn't want one person to go to hell. And by the way, if we don't reach them, that's why we need to reach these bikers. That's coming up in May 3rd. That's why we need to reach those folks in the jail ministry. Because God doesn't want any to perish. So, alrighty. Oh, boy. Don't get all... See what happens? I get on those things, I lose the one. Now, go down to what I'm supposed to be teaching, and it's already 8 o'clock. Look at my next mistake. Who are angels... was supposed to be what? What are angels like? Okay? By the way, next week, what do angels do? Next week, I'll be talking to you about what angels do. You're going to be surprised what some of the things they do. Well, let me just read these to you now, you could take this home and study this. But look at number one. What are angels like? Yes. Well, first of all, they're ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:7 says, and of the angels, he says, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers as a flame of fire. They're ministering spirits, Hebrews 1:14 and plus 1:7 of Hebrews. And don't, by the way, say, well, what's a spirit, preacher? Well, don't get too, I put there about the Lord, the Father. John 4:24 says that God's a spirit, and they worship us, worship in spirit and truth. God doesn't have a form of a body like we do. Hello? Are you with me? And so don't be surprised that angels, God created them. Are you with me? How many are with me? And so, then number two, and by the way, unless they reveal themselves to us, they are not seen with our naked eye. They're here right now. There's angels right here. And I know that you can't see them, but they're here. They really are. Isn't it exciting? And then I truly believe once we leave and the angels leave with us and the lights go off. You ever go into church at dark time, at night, when there's... it's scary. I'll tell you, I get the willies coming over here. I flip the lights on. Because I think demons come in, devils come in after we get out of here. Oh, I'm not going to get in that. That's something else. That's another lesson. What are angels like? Well, they are ministering spirits. But we know they can appear as forms of men because they did it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Number two, angels can fly and move quickly through the air. Man, but the Bible never says angels. Don't confuse angels with cherubims and seraphims. Are you with me? They're all different. Hello. You could read about Gabriel, how he went there real swiftly, it says in Daniel 9:21. Then my note there, don't confuse. Seraphims have three pairs of wings, which is six wings. And, you know, three pairs, three times two is six. And Pastor Dave caught my other one. And the cherubims, they have two pair of wings, which is four. How many are with me? Remember how they're over, look up here. Remember the ark, how they spread their wings over? Are you with me? Okay. Anyways, whatever. Exodus 25, I put Isaiah 2. There's the references. I was going to look these up, but we don't have time. And number three, angels are always referring to as masculine in the male gender. You never saw a woman angel. They're always in the male gender. In Luke 18, you'll see they come as men. 24, Luke, at the grave of Jesus, they're men. They're always men. Now, I know that some of you say, well, my wife's a little angel. Jack told me his wife's a little angel. She's always up near harping about something. But that's an earthly angel, Brother Jack. That's an earthly angel. But the ones that God made, they're all of the male gender. Okay. Oh, I hope I don't get in trouble. And then, I hope you take these and study. I got off onto something today, and I never got time to do this with you. Angels do not marry. Let's look at least look at that. Matthew 23, 29. Matthew chapter 3, verse 29. Matthew 23 and 39, if I got the right. I don't even know anymore. I should have really looked this over good. I wrote it up and gave her a piece of paper, and she did the best she could with my writing. If you saw my writing, how many of you ever got a card from me? Now, you wonder why this is misspelled? Poor Rosie. Can you imagine all the typing Rosie does for me? She deserves an air once in a while. It's my fault because in my double check, I didn't catch it. And look at 23, verse 29 and 30. Woe unto you, scribes. Am I in the right chapter? Oh, boy, this is a... Where is my Bible thing? Wow. Yeah, we're having a... I'm sorry, I really... Wow. Yeah, here it is. Matthew 22. Good night. Man. No, I'm going to go over it real good. It's Matthew 23, 22, rather. Matthew 22. Boy, I apologize. Good night. Look at Matthew 22, 29 and 30. Jesus said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. How many see that? They don't marry, and they don't have children, and when we get to heaven, we're not going to have children either. And number five, you say, good, I don't want to watch no more kids anymore. If you look, Second Samuel 14:20, it says that angels are very wise. Angels are very wise, but they're not all-knowing like God, but they are very wise. I put note, but they are not all-knowing. There are some that things that they desire to know about. In 1 Peter, when he's talking about the gospel, about the salvation, they desire to look into that. 1 Peter 1:12. And see, salvation, Christ didn't die for angels. He died just for you and I. Are you with me? And then they are very powerful. When you read the Bible, Psalms 103, verse 20. By the way, there's a lot more scriptures. I just put these down just to give you a reference point to study from. And no man's a match for any angel. God, one angel could wipe out cities. You know, we might have some strong men, but I'm going to tell you, no, I don't care. The biggest, that Shaq O'Neal that plays basketball, he's a huge man. He's no match for an angel. I'm going to tell you, angels are mighty in power. They're very mighty in power. And so they have exceedingly great strength. And then let's look at Luke chapter 20, and we'll close with that. Luke chapter 20. Boy, I'm sorry about all these errors. Man, I actually looked this over this morning, but I didn't look it good. Sorry about it. I'll make sure that next week there's no errors. If we have an error next week, we're blaming Rosie. These are my fault. I'll take the blame today. Look at Luke 20:36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. How many see that? Angels don't die. They are created beings, and they live forever. Now, before you get excited, let me say this to you. We die, but we look up here, and I'll close. We die physically, but we don't die spiritually. Every man lives forever. Let me quote this. Put this scripture down. Angels don't die at that, whatever number that was. I don't remember. 7, 6, whatever it was. Whatever number it was. 7. Let me quote you this scripture. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils, talking about Adam, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That soul never dies. People are either going to live in eternity, forever in heaven, or they're going to live in eternity in hell. But they really are going to live for. Every person's a living soul. You cannot kill. You can. Well, here it is. Here's what I want to say, Rod. Thank you, Lord. You cannot. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. Our soul's eternal. We are, because Eddie, the Bible says in Genesis 1:26, it's shown the Trinity, let us make man in our image. Well, one way God is, God's eternal. So God made man eternal. He made our soul eternal, and he made us a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. The spirit lives forever. The soul goes on forever. But the body goes back to the ground. But by the way, hallelujah, I was talking about Stella's brother. At the rapture, that body's coming up. And it's going to be eternal. You can kill the body right now, but you can't kill the soul. And I'll prove it to you, and I'll close. And I learned this as a young kid preacher, 20 years old. You find anyone that doesn't have a leg, find someone that's had a finger cut off, a leg amputated, or arm, any limb of the body. And you go ask them and say, preacher, studying the soul of a man. Because I've done this with people. Now you gotta be able to say it right where they don't take offense. Don't go up and say, hey, chucklehead, I see you got your leg cut off. I mean, you know, you deserve a pop in the nose. If you know. But if you can get someone, if you can talk to somebody that's lost some part of their body, and you can let them know that you really care about them. And I've done this. I've been with people. I remember years ago going to a guy named Cal Staples years ago at Allied Chemical. Just a young kid that just got saved, started studying the Bible, started going to college. And I said, he was missing two fingers. And I said, Cal, I said, he was an older man. He's probably around 50, and I was 20, right in that. He's probably 30 years my age. And I said, and I was real respectful, and I said, sir, I've noticed you are missing a couple fingers there. And I said, I'm studying the Bible. I'm a Bible student at Toledo Bible College. And the way I'm studying it is they're saying that our soul is eternal, and that even though if you cut your finger off, your soul, even though they cut the fleshly bone and flesh away, the way the Bible says that soul's eternal, and that your soul's finger should still be there. And I said, can you still feel that fingers? He said, young man, I'll never forget him saying this to me. He said, young man, not only do I feel them, I itch them. Not only do I feel them. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. The soul, you cannot destroy the soul. You cannot destroy the soul. See, so don't say, well, man, God made those angels eternal. He made us eternal too. We just have to go through a little process called death. But this is just a stopping over place. You know how long our life is? The Bible said it's a vapor. Annie Davis is going to be 89. Wanda, 84. You talk to them girls after church and they'll tell you. Stella, I think 71, she told me, 73, somewhere. How much? 73 years old. Marty, I think she's 80, 81, around 80 mark. Almost 82. Our church has been blessed. McDaniel's 80s. This church is so blessed with senior citizens that God has blessed with age. But they'll tell you, it just seems like yesterday I was a kid. I'll close with this. I'm really running over. I'm in a good mood today. I could have went to 8:30, 9 o'clock. I honest to God, I'm in one of them good moods. You caught me on a good one today. Listen. Think about your own marriages. Let me pick on Eddie and Liz. How many years have you been married, Liz? 31 years. It doesn't seem like 31. I bet you can remember when you and Eddie were kids. I'll be married 40 years in June, June 28th. And it just seems like, we get those pictures, and it just seems like it was just a few weeks ago I was driving that Grand Sport. I was talking to a guy down, Charlie Kuzek, the other day. I picked up a little used car off him just to drive around in the city, and I said, he sold it to me dirt cheap, that's why I bought it. we were talking about my old Buick, and how I bought a brand new Buick, got a Rourke Buick in Toledo, 1968, $3,300 out of the showroom. Brother Mike, $3,300 out of the showroom. A super sport, loaded, high-performance engine, black vinyl, leather. I mean, it was immaculate. I still got pictures of it. Oh, yeah. But what I was saying to him was this. Brother Kataver, it was just like, it's only been like a couple of days and I was running around like a kid. And I was a kid. it was like yesterday I had that car and was running around hot rodding it. Boy, I've made a full spectrum. When I was a kid, I was a hot rod. And now I go so slow they call me Granny. You don't want to, when they go off these little Bible things and stuff, I follow my car and I'll say, I'll meet you guys there. They beat me by an hour, half hour, whatever it is. Or I don't care. I'm not in no big hurry. I'm just waiting on Jesus now anyways. Usually I catch up to them in the city. You ever watch people at speed? They hit the brakes so they can stop for the next red light. Me, I just keep putt, 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 you know, Mary Poppins putting, you know, just Mary Poppins down the road, you know. And I don't need to go fast. Where are you going? It's not, nothing's going. Amen? It's amazing how we change, isn't it? Now, Jeannie Wilson and Eddie, they ain't never going to change. Actually, Eddie's still looking for the black hole to shoot through. There's about 10 people in this church that really make up for me going slow. I remember going to Toledo one day. A bunch of us guys went to Toledo, and you were driving, and Mike was driving, and Brother Foreman was driving. And we went to Monclova. I've never made it in Toledo. The best I've ever made it to Toledo was 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's the best time. That's what we mean, not stopping, you know, doing it and just going straight. That's the best I've ever done. With me going 68 or 70, you know, that's fast. Wilson got me there to Monclova, Ohio, which is farther south, west. And an We made it in an hour and 45 minutes. I kept looking at my watch. We didn't stop. Matter of fact, they were passing out peanuts to us up in the airliners because we were up in the air with the rest of them. We were on the $39 flight with the peanuts and stuff and the Coke. Jeannie's smiling. So they know. Now, if you want to get there fast, you get one of them guys. But if you know what, if you go with preacher, you just figure about an hour later, if it's a real long trip, about an hour later. But man, I'll stop and we'll have coffee. We'll sit around. Might even eat a McDonald's ice cream. You don't know. Yeah, I'm in no big hurry. Amen? You know what? I've kept you too long now as it is. You know, maybe we need to just slow down sometimes anyways. Why don't we just slow down and let God speak to us? Why don't we just slow down and enjoy life? I think we speed through life so much sometimes. We fail. What's the statement? Not close. We fail to smell the roses. Let's smell the roses and the lilies and the rose of Sharon while we're going through this life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray you'll bless our people. Thank you for each one of them. And Lord, help us to learn about angels. And Father, I just pray that you'll give us a great day Sunday. Lord, please save people this Sunday. Lord, I don't know if there was anybody saved last Sunday. That broke my heart. Lord, I just pray that somebody will be saved this coming Sunday. And that, Lord, help us to win people before we get to Sunday. Help us to win someone to Christ and have them down the aisle. Lord, that's what your will is. Lord, really, people are supposed to be saved out knocking on doors. And church ain't for saving. Church is for growing and learning. And I just pray you'll bless our people tonight. Be with those that are sick at home. And watch over each one of us now as we leave. We ask in Christ's name. God bless you. Thank you for coming. God bless each one of you.